Welcome back, my friends. Welcome back to the broadcast. Thanks for joining us tonight. We're going to get right back into it. So, apparently, the public defender, Michael Fox, without any direction from Sam Girard, the Amish farmer, asked the judge if he could request that that the Amish guy serve his sentence at the federal corrections facility in Kentucky to be near his people. The judge said that he would need to know if it was the desire of the Sam Girard, the Amish farmer. And once again, he said, the Amish farmer replied that he does not consent. So basically, no matter what the witch's court was asking or telling him, he was just saying, I don't consent, I don't consent, I don't consent. He held his ground. And, you know, I don't blame him. I can understand why. But unfortunately, he will probably now do his time at a medium security facility in someplace like Texas. Presumably, prisoners are sent wherever there is room, but there are theories that prisoners are placed far from home to discourage visitations from family and friends. Oh, lovely. Don't you love the witch's prison system?
It sounds like an Eighth Amendment cruel and unusual punishment violation to me. Segregation, isolation, that's torture.
And much more. And the final sentence says here, he learned that the Ashland facility in Texas is a minimum security facility known as the camp, where they don't bother to lock the doors. Yeah, I guess not. It's out in the middle of the Texas desert. What's Sam Girard going to do, walk home back to Kentucky to his family? I mean, I'm sure, you know what. So this is what's going on. Now, meanwhile, I'd like to read people this. Hold one second here if I can get this up. Ah, beautiful. Trump commutes sentence of kosher meatpacking executive. Okay, now this is while Tom Lacovar is sitting in the witch's prison, and now the witch's halfway house. This is while the Bundys have been sitting in the witch's prison up until the point where it became so much public pressure, calling them out, calling the government out on its criminal activity of withholding exculpatory evidence from the defense in the Bundy trial. And while the Amish farmer Sam Girard, poor Sam, is serving 6 years in prison for selling a healing cream that worked a little bit too well. President Donald Trump commuted the sentence of an Iowa kosher meatpacking executive who had been sentenced to 27 years in prison for money laundering, marking the first time he's used the presidential power. Okay, let me stop right there. This is Trump's first pardon and only time he's saw fit to pardon a kosher meatpacking executive who's doing 27 years for money laundering. Okay. The decision to intervene on behalf of Shalom Rubushkin, who ran the Iowa headquarters of a family business that was the country's largest kosher meat processing company. The decision came at the urging of numerous members of Congress and a long list of high-ranking law enforcement officials who argued the sentence was far too harsh for a first-time nonviolent offender. Would that be a first-time nonviolent offender like the Amish farmer? Okay, back to the article. The action was, quote, encouraged by bipartisan leaders from across the political spectrum. Oh, boy. From Nancy Pelosi to Orrin Hatch, according to the White House. Okay, did you get that, peoples? While the Amish and the Patriots are rotting in the witch's prison, the action was encouraged by a bipartisan leadership from across the political spectrum, from Pelosi to Hatch. Get it? Okay, this is according to the White House. Okay. Rubashki was convicted in 2009 for submitting fake invoices to a bank that made agriprocessors' finances appear healthier than they were so that it could borrow more money. Did you get that? This guy's doing time for submitting the fraud to a bank to make his finances bigger so he could borrow more. Okay, great. Who do you think he's borrowing from? His prosecution came after federal authorities raided the plant and arrested 389 illegal immigrants. Okay, so not only is he committing fraud by submitting fake invoices, he's doing it to a bank, which brings up a whole bunch of other crimes that he doesn't seem to be being charged with. Banking, you can charge this guy under the Terrorist and Patriot Act all day long. And then he's employing 389 illegal immigrants. Meanwhile, Trump's building a couple of sections of wall and claiming that he's doing something about the illegal immigration. Okay, back to the article. The 57-year-old father of 10 has served more than 8 years of his sentence, according to the White House, which stressed the action is not a presidential pardon and that does not vacate his conviction. So I guess it's a commutation and not a pardon. Trump has also used his pardon power just once so far. Okay, I stand corrected. Apparently, Trump has pardoned one other person, former Sheriff of Arizona's Joe Arpaio, by wiping away a federal conviction stemming from immigration patrols that focused on Latinos. Okay, so, you know, I'm not, and by the way, let me stop right there and tell you, y'all know I'm not the big Joe Arpaio fan. The guy is a complete pig. He took pride, and we know pride's a sin, in locking up people for one joint of weed and putting them in pink jumpsuits out in a 120-degree prison camp in the desert. That's your drug war. And then he got on the air and bragged about how he worked with the DEA and cut all these deals and smoke-filled rooms. And you know, Mr. Fed himself, Joe Arpaio. So it's Mr. Fed and Mr. Zionist, the meat kosher meat-placking Rabushkin, has finally received justice. Oh, boy, great. Yeah, he's getting out while the Amish farmer's staying in. Back to the article. The sentence previously imposed was unfair, unjust, and essentially a life sentence. President Trump has just done what is right and just. The unrelenting efforts on Rubashkin's behalf have finally paid off. Rubashkin's attorneys last year accused prosecutors of improperly interfering with the sale of agriprocessors and depressing the sale of its price by millions. The drop in value left agriprocessors bank with a $27 million loss, a figure used to calculate Rubashkin's sentence under federal guidelines. The U.S. Attorney's Office denied the allegations. The White House said the president's decision to review Rubashkin's sentence was driven by concerns raised by a bipartisan group of more than 100 former high-ranking law enforcement and Justice Department officials. Over 100 former high-ranking law enforcement and Justice Department officials, including multiple former attorneys general, as well as prosecutors, judges, and legal scholars. Holy shit. Okay, let me stop right here. Listen to the people lining up to get a piece of the Zionist payoff by trying to get this pig out of prison. Department officials, multiple former attorneys general. Would that be like Sessions? Prosecutors, judges, legal scholars. Nancy Pelosi to Orrin Hatch. Is there anybody who's not lining up to demand to want this guy let out of prison? And this guy deserves to be in prison. He's committing fraud. He's writing up fake invoices to the bank. He's hiring 389 illegal immigrants. Police. Oh, my God. Mr. Rubashkin is a devoted husband and father and a deeply religious man. Oh, I'll bet he is. Who simply doesn't deserve a sentence of this length. Oh, like the Amish farmer? Or anything remotely close to it. They wrote in a letter urging Trump to use executive clemency power to commute the patently unjust and draconian 27-year sentence imposed upon Shalom Rubashkin, a first-time nonviolent offender, like the Amish farmer, like Tom LaCavara, and father of 10, including an acutely autistic child. Well, that's what happens when you line them up for the vaccines, dumb nuts. Okay, back to the article. More than 30 current members of Congress also submitted letters to the White House supporting a review. Now, are you getting this? While the country is collapsing, under tyranny and oppression and taxes and property seizures and the drug war and all every nightmare imaginable, these congressmen are getting together writing letters to commute the sentence of some Zionist meatpacking plant executive. Back to the article. Every count that looked at on a sentence concluded it was fair. The former Justice Department officials said that who supported leniency were unaware of the facts in the case. Oh, yeah, right. The former Justice Department officials didn't know anything about. Yeah, okay. So you got that? Okay. Is everybody happy now? Trump, while the Amish farmer is sitting in prison for selling a hand cream that worked really well, and he had to use that evil four-letter word heal, H-E-A-L, and you can't use the word heal. According, you can use the word F-U-C-K, but you can't use the word H-E-A-L. How do you like that? I could say F-U-C-K-Y-O-U all I want, and people would say, look at you, and then I could say, my hand cream heals you, and then prison time. Okay, can you see how all crimes are economic now? Everything's UCC, everything's statutory, everything's admiralty. All the power lies in the witch's court. But Shalom Rubashkin, who's committed fraud and who's putting almost 400 illegal immigrants to work, okay, great. And that's an example of who we're going to commute the sentence for. Yeah, it just tells you who's buttering the bread of Donald and Ivanka Trump and Jared Kushner, the Zionist, et cetera, and the six members of Goldman Sachs who have turned the Trump administration into nothing more than the Goldman Trump administration. Any comments, Chris and Gary?
Go ahead, Chris. We'll wake Chris up.
Yeah, wake up, Chris. Slap him upside the head for me. Chris, isn't that lovely that the Amish are getting sentenced to prison for selling hand cream that works, and the kosher meatpacking executive who committed fraud and employed almost 400 illegals is getting us pass? Isn't that nice? Don't you feel better about our criminal justice system?
Bizarre.
Go ahead.
That somebody should practice honest business practices and give people something that actually does what it's supposed to do, actually offers some relief for their condition and alleviates the discomfort, the pain, or the symptoms. This is how insane, upside down, and how out of control these so-called agencies are, which are highly conflicted. They've sold themselves out to the highest bidder. They care nothing about the people. They're only using this as a form of extortion to punish people who actually are doing what they're supposed to do and complying with the Creator's wishes, not evil, wicked, perverse man's. No comment on that? Well, I can tell you that these agencies are a lawless breed. They have their own private corporate policies, procedures, statutes, and codes. Private legal crap that they expect the rest of us who don't belong to their club, their agency, their executive club membership of the POTUS's creation. And, of course, Trump, whether he knows it or not, has the authority to revoke, rebuke, replace, fire, hire, or shut down any agency because they're all created under the executive office privileges of the POTUS under his War Powers Act or his Chief Executive Officer Act. This is absolutely insane that these agencies are allowed to run roughshod over the American people as a tyrannical force, much like the Gestapo, the SS, the Stasi, the secret police, the KGB. This is absolutely insane here in America. Well, I guess maybe I left it to me. I'm just appalled at what America is turning into. The country that we once thought was the great shining city on the hill, the New Jerusalem, as they call it, here in the West, to fall to the throes of communist Talmudism, Zionism, the Phariseeism, Sumer and Babelism. This demonic entity that has taken over our country while the people have been asleep at the wheel, have been busy trying to fight against these agency actions, these assaults on our culture, our ideals, our morals, our scruples, our ethics, our culture. This is a form of war. It's a morphic war that most people cognize, but it absolutely is a war against the American people. It's an affront to the American idealism that this country was founded on by the founders, and it made us great and exceptional for a large period of history. Although by the policies of the so-called agencies of government, we have fallen into the throes of communist despotism, and it's destroying this country by the day, and pretty soon we're going to wake up homeless on the lands that our fathers fought and died and shed their blood for. And we're going to be shedding blood here in America soon at this rate.
Well, hopefully not, but we're trying to avoid that here with winning the hearts and minds and getting people educated, but I hate to see it come to that, you know, because we already fought our revolution in 1776. We need a restoration. We're restorationists, not revolutionaries. That's why I'm very loath to when these people say the Trump revolution. Hey, sorry, Jack, I'm not any part of it. We already had our revolution. Put it back the way it was. We fixed this as best we could. And then, minus the Witches' Court, the Judiciary Act of 1789, and the martial law declared for the Civil War, and the 14th Amendment, and the 16th Amendment, but what I wanted to also touch on, Chris, is, you're right at the bat, it's a spiritual battle. The scripture says we battle not against flesh and blood, but against what? Powers and principalities. So it is a spiritual battle as well, but it manifests itself in physical form, and that's where we have to fight it. On both fronts, not just one or the other. And when I was on mute talking into my muted phone there, while you took it over for a second, when I was responding to you, Donald Trump knows exactly that he has the power to get rid of these agencies. You were making this point just about 3 minutes ago, and I wanted to respond to that. He wouldn't be the billionaire businessman cutting deals and building an empire. He knows exactly. What he's done is he's put people with him. The people around him, I'll put this two ways. The people around him are telling him, no, that would be, you can't get rid of the BLM and the IRS and all that. No, it'd be too much radical change. It'd be too much. We can't all want to disruptive. They like to use the word disruptive technology, disruptive to the system. It's not would be disruptive. It would be disruptive to the enemy stealing our money, but it wouldn't be disruptive to the people. We'd have our freedom and liberty and our private property titles back in our own possession. Tax-free. So, figure out another way to come up with money. There's plenty of ways other than steal people's private property and kick them out of their house when they can't pay rent to the government. So he knows exactly what he's doing. He knows he could get rid of these agencies, but he's not going to do it. So the second part to this is, I submit, he's intentionally put these people around him who he knows are going to say, oh, that's a bad idea, Mr. President. Don't do that. Too radical. Or no, you don't want to go there. It's a little slower. Baby steps. Okay? Knowing that they were going to say that, putting him in. Because then he can say, oh, well, I'm getting bad advice from the people around me. Since the deep state has taken me over. They're isolating me like Rapunzel. I can't get anything done because the deep state's too ingrained. That's the convenient dance that they're doing. They need to make the people, the sheeple, think that the enemy's all against Trump and he's trying to do what he can. He's getting all this resistance. This has been staged to come across this way. So they don't, ultimately, they could keep the BLM up and running. Congratulations, President Trump, with your new tax bill. You've just kept the IRS and the Federal Reserve up and running for another 3 years at least. Maybe 8 if he gets reelected again. Oy. We'll be right back after this break. I think I hear music. If I do, we'll catch you in a minute. It's Eric DeFrio, stream of Gary and Chris on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Stay with us.
The smoke is rising in the shadows overhead.
Do you worry a lot? If you're forgetful, nervous, moody, or overwhelmed, chances are you're not protecting yourself from the ravaging effects of stress and anxiety. No matter the cause, ongoing stress and elevated levels of the stress hormone cortisol can rob your memory, your health, your quality of life, and your future. Now you can combat the effects of stress and anxiety while improving your memory and recall at the same time with the dietary supplement Calm and Clever. Studies show that the ingredients in Calm and Clever reduce cortisol by as much as 30% in as little as 1 to 2 weeks and increase your ability to recall facts, names, and numbers in 4 to 12 weeks. Calm and Clever was created by scientist Kurt Hendricks, a principal investigator in 2 NIH-funded studies on Alzheimer's disease. Try Calm and Clever for 2 months. You'll feel the difference. Call 1-800-758-8746 or go to calmandclever.com.
My name is Don Wiskin, and at 42 years old, I suffered a massive heart attack, lost 35% of my heart to damaged tissue, and was supposed to spend the rest of my life on disability. What did I do? I took Extendivite, a garlic and cayenne mix of 7 herbs which rebuilt my heart and gave me back my life. For over 17 years now, I have made this formula available to you so you don't have to suffer the same thing I did. Clean your blocked arteries and strengthen your heart and boost your natural immune system. I'm 60 years old now and I still work every day. To get your Extendivite, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply of either capsules or liquid.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AirOutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AirOutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more, plus magful clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AROutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AROutfitting.com.
Thanks for joining us. You are listening to Eric the Freedom Screamer on the Republic Broadcasting Network. For our new listeners, the reason we're a republic and not a democracy is because in a democracy, 51% of the sadsters can vote to steal everything from the rest of us 49%ers, and then we're screwed. In a republic, there's protections for the individual. Without that, you're screwed. With that, we're going to go to Daryl in Alabama and then Tom in Tennessee. We're going to get right. New Year's resolution. Going to get right to the callers. Oh, by the way, people, I've been instructed by Mike on the board, when you call in, keep trying. Let it ring 5-6 times. He may not be looking at the board. There's not an audio because he's doing other things. So you just got to kind of look over once in a while and see if the light's bleeping. So be persistent. You will get through. Let's start with Daryl in Alabama. Good to hear from you. How have you been?
Oh, Eric. Hi, Eric. Chris, Gary. I've been having a great Christmas season here. Good to hear you, Chris. Eric, you're just all over this tonight. You've provoked me to call in. I thank you very much.
Did I wave that red flag in front of the bull or what?
Yeah, I think that's what it is. Say, I have a question for you before I get into my information here. What kind of dog do you have?
I have 2 dogs. I have one kind of large and one a little bit smaller. The one is a offspring of a bear dog and a German Shepherd. I found a stray bear dog out west when I was traveling out west, a beautiful female a bear dog. It's a Russian breed. They used to hunt bear, and they're quite popular out in the Pacific Northwest. Her name was Pepper, and Pepper recently passed away, but before she left, she left me a couple of batches of puppies, They all found good homes. I kept one, and it was very interesting because both the parents were black. This dog came out almost a golden white. And I didn't even know it was a dog when she was giving birth. I thought it was like a little mouse or a rat or something in the couch, and it was this white dog. And so I said, oh, I got to keep the prize white stallion. So anyway, I kept him, and his name's Benny, and he's the big boy. And then I took in a little teeny pit bull rescue, and this dog's probably not more than 30 or 35 pounds, heart of gold, funniest dog I've ever had. Has to, you know, sleep right in bed with you every night. He obviously got yanked away from his mother early, and he was kind of in a city situation where they were going to do bad things with him. So my neighbor's wife, my friend's wife, went over next door and said, you know, I'm taking your dog, because it was chained up outside with no food and no water. It was very sad. So anyway, I did a rescue, and there's the long story. I got two dogs. One of them's a rescue, and they get along real well now. They've kind of established which one's dominant and which one's submissive. Been real peaceful lately. Praise be the Lord.
Yeah, well, I appreciate that. I'm a dog lover too, and the strays, they make the best. They're so grateful. They're so appreciative, you know. And
they are. Yeah, you know.
So I just can't understand people that can be ugly to animals. But so I appreciate that. Listen, You're hammering on this this federal government here tonight pretty hard, my brother, and Chris too. And I'm going to say something that's a little contradictory to what you're alluding to, but just give me a moment here. You're right. You're right in intent. But I don't think you're correct in reality. And let me explain that. We were organized. We were supposed to be a republic. We were a republic. You know, the famous quote about Benjamin Franklin, and he was asked by the lady outside of the convention at the Constitution at the signing. She says, what kind of government did you give us? Old Ben says, well, I'm paraphrasing. He goes, well, it's a republic, ma'am, for as long as you can keep it. It's been usurped. It happened when the Southern senators walked out of the Congress at the beginning of disagreements prior to the Civil War. We haven't had one since. The democracy has been pretty much in full effect since the states lost the ability to appoint their state senators, and now they're popularly elected. That's your confirmation that, in fact, they have usurped the republic, and we are of a constitutional organization, organized under democratic terms, operated under parliamentary procedure.
You're exactly right. So I thank you for kind of challenging me on that nicely. I was coming from the idealistic, what we should be, what we're supposed to be, what we want to be, and what we're trying to resurrect here. Right, but you're right.
Right.
The republic is long gone. We are a democracy. We're not supposed to be. We're supposed to be a republic. Very good point, sir.
Right.
Can you hold? Can you hold?
Yes.
Can you hold? Yeah. We got a break. We'll be quick. Hang tight. It's Eric with Gary and Chris and Daryl and all of you out there. We appreciate you joining us on the Republic Broadcasting Network. We will be right back.
The smoke is rising in the shadows overhead.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Oh. Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855, the number 2, keep it today.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Welcome back to the broadcast. Thanks for staying with us on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Daryl was just making an excellent point that we are, I'm the idealist. I'm trying to get the ideal of what we are and what we are supposed to be and what we want to become once again, which is a republic. And that's our foundation. That's our founding principle. That's what where we're supposed to be at. It's what we're supposed to know about. We're supposed to be living under those precepts and principles. And codifications only that are in accordance with. Daryl makes a great point. In fact, the Republic's long, I don't want to use the word long gone. I want to use the word long violated. Because they can never take our freedom, and they can never take the Republic. As long as there's one person drawing a breath of air that says, I'm in it, we got it. I mean, you can't take it. They can only violate it. See, I can't take Daryl's freedom if I was the government, but I could violate it. Daryl's free to do whatever he wants. He has unalienable rights given to him by the Creator that he possesses just by the fact that he's living. And providing he's not out actively hurting or damaging somebody or their property, then he's a free man, and I can never take his freedom. I can only violate it by passing codes, statutes, rules, regulations, procedures, and calling it law, which it is not. Daryl, you want to, any final thoughts before we get on to Tom in Tennessee? Daryl, you got some more time? Go ahead, buddy.
Appreciate that. Yeah, thank you. I appreciate that, Eric. Listen, in a republic, the federal government had the authority to exercise certain legislative powers on the states. They could only affect the states. But in a federal government, by the way, that's what the union is, the federal aspect of our national political organization is federal, and with that, it's a union, and the union is a democracy, and it operates on all the people, okay? It operates on all the people. It bypasses the states. The states are just sub-franchises of the federal now. And that the federal, from the district of criminals, can operate on the persons of all this union. So those persons are identified as citizens, and they're under the law of the city, which is Roman, and so hence this ties in with you're one of the few people that actually speak of the vicar and the vicar general. And so this is where this all ties in. There is absolutely perfect continuity and logic that applies to this, but it stands in contradiction to what our understandings are in the ideal. So it sort of becomes a what I refer to as a goat rodeo in a lot of people's minds. If you've ever been to a goat rodeo, it's pretty entertaining. And so what happens is that we're expecting to have our God-given and or constitutional rights as people, but we're not classified as that politically. We're persons, and that's a different thing. They can't take your, you know, slavery is not legal anymore under the sense of bondage and chains, except under the 13th Amendment they can do that. But under the 14th Amendment, they are alienable because you consent, whether you know it or not, you consent to giving your rights up and operating under their rules, codifications, and statutes that you're talking about. And you do that in commerce. Because federal authority is based strictly on international treaty and on the land. It's based upon commerce, agreement in commerce. You are, as a citizen and a person, an article in commerce, and this is why you can't own anything. This goes back to your logic. You're exactly right, Eric. This is why you can't own any land, because you're owned. And your taxes that you're paying on everything, whether it be your income, your land, your property, your cars, and everything else that you have to pay a tax on, they call it a tax, okay? But here's the facts. They can only tax what they own. If you're paying a tax on something, people, in this case, persons, if you're paying a tax on something, it's because you don't own it. They do. You consented to it. You gave them the registration. Okay, and so basically what you're doing is that you're working your tails off and you're paying them interest, which is basically usury. All these taxes are usury. You're paying interest on your using it. Do you follow along with what I'm saying? You're paying interest on the fact that you're using their property. And this is
absolutely,
this is as clear and as succinctly as I can lay this out, and
well, yeah,
until
you
grasp
on
this,
Go ahead.
I'm sorry.
Continue.
Well,
you finish.
And so, and until we understand this, and I say understand in the context of not yielding to them, but understanding and comprehension of this knowledge, we as persons can't go back to being people. And this is the lament, is for us to go back to being people, so that when our Amish friend is being tyrannized and oppressed, which he is, you know, he's under oppression right now, political oppression in commerce. This is how they tried to trap Chris, is oppression in commerce. Until we can identify who we're supposed to be and under what jurisdiction, we can't challenge them on jurisdiction. I believe if our Amish friend understood how to challenge them on subject matter jurisdiction and make them prove something that they can, we're going to continue to take hits and losses.
Yeah.
And there is a way.
This is why they're so desperate to have consent.
Yeah.
And this is why they make up the lie.
There's absolutely not enough time, because Tom has to get on here, but sometime we need to talk. But there are ways and means and steps incrementally to where you can detach yourself from the federal person, political status, identity, remove your consent, and go back to being a people. And you know, this is something that everybody can do for themselves, and it requires a change in life. And they don't have subject matter jurisdiction over your, because you removed your consent. So I appreciate all you guys, and Gary and Chris, and I'm looking forward to this year. So,
well, excellent, great call. Thank you, Daryl. We appreciate you checking in. You make some great points. The implied consent is what they're desperate to get. Daryl brought up consent, and this whole thing that really drives me up the wall is this bar member's lie called implied consent. I mean, there's no such thing. It's either consent or it's not. Consent has to be specific, does it not?
Yeah. Your consent is a presumption, and as Chris will bolster me or busters me on this, is that their presumption that you've consented is rebuttable. It is a rebuttable consent, and that's what we have to do, is to rebut that presumption of consent. This is a legal maxim. We can do this. It's been done. I've done it. And I just want to make one more comment that you're so accurate on. When you call this the witch's court, the root word of witch is Wicca, and the purpose of Wicca is to, are you ready for this, bend the perception of reality. That's what witchcraft is. It bends the perception of reality. And so that's what they do. They have to distort and bend reality, and this sets up a sort of a psychodrama in people's minds. It's actually sorcery and a spell. So I had a good time. I enjoy you guys. So thanks.
What a great call, Daryl. Excellent job. Thank you, my friend. There's so much I want to respond to. Just before we get, I'll try to do it briefly. But yeah, the bending of truth and the bending of reality, or the deceit and the lie. Perfect example, constructive possession. Possession requires actual holding. That's the dictionary definition. That means you have to have it, it could be just for a second, but you got to have it in your hands. To be in possession of a firearm by a convicted felon requires the felon to be holding the firearm. It cannot be in the room nearby, in the bathroom, down the hall. Can't be in the car, down the street. Constructive possession is a lie. And it's from the pit of hell, and that's exactly why it is the witch's court, because they function on constructing the lie through the written word, and that's why it's so deceitful and so horrible. And what was one other thing I wanted to... When Daryl mentioned the states being nothing more than a subcorporation of the... or subcorporations... of the federal corporation, he's exactly right, and that's exactly why I have a big problem with this returning the land from the federal corporate landholder status to the state of Utah or the state of Nevada. Oh, it sounds great. The land's going back to the people. No, it's not. Did anybody listen to what Donald Trump said in his delivery? He said the people of the state of Utah know best how to conserve this land. Conserve. Conservancy, the Nature Conservancy, Conservatory, Agenda 21.
Well,
lock it down. Turn it into
communist.
A park. It's communist
it's
and it's globalist
term.
Agenda UN 21. Yeah. It's where they're turning all the parks into a national park. I saw it myself. I didn't believe it. When I first got into this, I heard the talk about the UN biosphere reserve. I was like, well, I don't know. It's just a conspiracy theory or it's on paper somewhere. It's somebody's dream or whatever. I had it coming out of the Smoky Mountain National Park in Tennessee, and there was a sign that said, you are now leaving. We were coming out of the park, the Great Smoky Mountain National Park, which is huge. Then one part of it, we were leaving and going out on the, you know, different land. And it said, you are now leaving the Smoky Mountain, the Great Smoky Mountain National Park, a UN biosphere reserve. I said, oh boy, there. That sign didn't last very long. The locals took it down, like it or not. But yeah, no, it's, they're not. They want to steal our land. So having the land go from a federal corporate land trust to the state corporate land trust, so Trump can say very cryptic, and not really been very cryptic. It's pretty obvious. People just have to listen to what he says. People aren't listening. They're dreaming that he's the Messiah, or you know. And I have heard that from other broadcasters. They're dreaming that he's going to be the deliverer to the new republic or the new revolution or whatever they got on their mind. He's not going to do that. He said the people of the state of Utah are now going to get this land back from the federal government. The people of the state of Utah know best how to conserve this land. He doesn't, for 1 minute, think that the people are actually going to get together on some community board and make a decision. No, it's going to be decided by the administrators and the attorneys who run this corporate state of Utah. Or the corporate state of Nevada. And with that, I want to thank you, Daryl. We're going to get over to Tom in Kentucky. Tom, how are you tonight?
Thanks. How about
Tom
yourself? Merry holiday.
Thanks. Merry Christmas.
Yeah. I really enjoyed what you guys were talking about. And Daryl over there, I'd like to chat with him sometime. That sounds like fun. And this conversation here, so much to say, so little time as always. Things come to my mind. It's sporadic about these things. When everybody's talking, speaking here, just to reaffirm things that we know here, clarify, and my where I'm coming from, my viewpoint. It's an esoteric agenda. It's spiritual, totally spiritual. Why? Because you can't see a ghost, ghost corporation. And the ghost corporation is not really speaking to us because it doesn't have a mouth. So it uses representatives to scare us into a consent. And there's a maxim of law that says the presence of the body in the courtroom cures the error for the name on the birth certificate. And the truth of the name cures the error of the description. So, as I was saying before, the ghost fiction corporation, government, whatever, is using this name on the birth certificate for this identity theft to get a consent out of real people, and it has to scare us to do this, intimidate, threaten, coerce, and twist our arm and just scare the crap out of us with uniforms and authority speaking representatives. So to get the consent, they all contracting, they're all doing commerce. That's it. That's nothing personal. It's just business. But yet we, the people, are sensitive, emotional creatures, and we take everything under the sun very personal indeed because we're sensitive, emotional, loving creatures. So we're not understanding what's happening here. They're coming to contract with us to borrow the money from us in our treasury accounts, the credit, excuse me, because there is no money, and they need our consent. So they're coming to contract with us, and we should be happy to say, oh, okay, how you doing there, sir? What you got today? Oh, I got this so-and-so. Well, yeah, okay, yeah, let's do some business. And that's the
well,
way
here, you hit
be,
it right there. Let me interject right there, Tom, real quick. That one of the main things that they're extrapolating our consent from and out of is the fact that we pretty much have no, now obviously there's exceptions to this, but we pretty much across the board don't have much, 99% of the people are forced to use Federal Reserve notes. So with the entity, the corporate government slash banking establishment entities are attempting to say is, well, since you people are using the Federal Reserve debt notes, you're consenting to the system and all the bylaws and procedures and parts of the charter and codes and all the statutes that, and that's how these statutory agencies like the BLM persecuting the Bundys and the FDA persecuting the Amish farmer, that's how they get away with this. They're extrapolating in two things, implied consent and, well, back to you, Tom. Go ahead.
Yeah, it's complicated. Not to say that I know it all whatsoever, but I can explain a few things. However, in the case of the contract, there's no money to reach in your pocket with, but we're made to do it, and they're just extorting gifts from us all
more
the time.
More debt out of us. Yeah, they're extorting more and more debt out of us.
Like Darryl was saying that he couldn't get to, and I know there's so much more behind what he couldn't say, but the way they're getting the consent, and I tried to have this little conversation with Ralph Winterode and one time and stuff, and it's so simple that it's complicated. It's like the movie in The Matrix. You don't bend the spoon with your mind. You bend the spoon by bending your mind. It is crazy. And because everybody's doing it, you can't believe it would be so simple to know that the way to getting the subject matter jurisdiction is by you speaking your last name into the air. Because it's not your name, you can't own it. Your family owns it, and this is how
exactly. That's why,
and they have to get the identity correct in the very beginning. The judge cannot let the courtroom know that they brought a real man, flesh and blood man, in the courtroom in place of a dead fiction name on a piece of paper. The attorney's holding in his hand.
Let me comment on that. The very interestingly, two things. First is. Well, you just on the a man who's there's a someone in another town that's running for a town political office that mentioned to the guy who I was working with and helping him kind of through the witch's court nightmare with the code enforcement situation. A person who was running for political office, actually, I guess they ran into each other at the store, and it's a small town, so you're going to run into, and this town judge. Or a guy who was running, I think, for town judge, said, oh, you're the guy who files the papers about the living man. And that was the first, it wasn't like, common law or you're the constitutional guy or you're the sovereign citizen. He said, oh, yeah, you're Wayne, the guy who files as a living man. That was the one thing that stuck in his head. And the second thing is, and Tom, I thank you for your call. We only got a couple minutes left, so I want to get in a few plugs before the night's over. Check in with us again next week, or later this week or next week, Tom. Thank you. Great points, and I wanted to respond to some of them. Who in Michigan? Okay, well, Jody, you're going to have to be brief. We'll get to you in a second. But I also wanted to say that one thing that seemed to stir the system up quite a bit, like I just seemed to rock the boat, and the action in my life got a little turned up a notch when I put on the Internet, and it was on, I think it was when I was with the National Liberty Alliance when they were kind of for real, but, that's a whole other story. But they put me out the pasture when I started talking about the Vickers and the Masons. But anyway, when I posted the document, and I got to give credit to one of the Colorado guys for really steering me in the direction on this, and it was mostly based on his creation. But it was very simple. It was just like one simple page, and I think he titled it No Compliance, No Contract, No Consent, No Jurisdiction. And it just basically said, Dear Sheriff, I have not contracted you with anything to do with any part of my life or finances, or physical or spiritual. I do not consent to anything. Therefore, you do not have any jurisdiction over me. And it was just a simple thing. It was almost just a template to show kind of people how they could. And I tell you, I ruffled a lot of feathers. They didn't like that public posting of my withdrawal of consent. My rejection of any implied consent, my rejection of any implied contract, and if they just don't like people asserting themselves as a But very interesting that the living man thing got kind of the ears raised around here. That's what stuck out in someone's head who works for the system as well. You're the living man guy. Yeah, right. We're not the agent of, we're not coming in as a dead corporation that you're going to think is somehow, you know, a fictitious entity, even though the human flesh and blood is standing in front of you. That's why the judges usually don't like to look at you. Not too often. They're usually looking down at the papers, seeing how much money they're going to make on the bonded case. Oh, yeah, are you so-and-so? Oh, yes. Do you understand the charges against you? Absolutely not. If these are charges, then please bill it to the Vicar General. They're in charge of my Cestu Trust. Are you accusing me of something, sir? And if there's an accusation, I'll need to see a lawful indictment by a jury of my peers. And then, I will like to, you know, have a jury of my peer trial if it goes that far. But meanwhile, if you dig up the public officer's law, and you dig around and challenge them in your paperwork. Now, here, what I always like to include, I'm not, you know, people can decide for themselves, but when you come in as I, Eric, a living man, one of the people, am a full age, having not consented to any contract nor being in any trust with court, town, state, ecclesiastic, that covers the vicar, being grantor and grantee of any and all proceeds from bid bond, performance bond, payment bond. When you start laying claim to the money that they're making from your bonded case, they don't like that. And a lot of them are compartmentalized so much they don't really even know where you're going. But when they bounce it off the attorneys for the town or the CPAs, they're usually going to say, uh-oh, you know, you're going to want to see the General Services Administration forms. You don't want to go here, make this go away. So there's a lot of little buttons. Always name the judicial vicar or the vicar general for your diocese in your paperwork. If you're going to file a piece of paper with the court, send the vicar a courtesy copy. I'm telling you, it really hits home, and it's going to help your case. So put the pressure, you know, and, you know, legal lawful document. Don't go on and on in your paperwork. Make it simple. And don't be taking offensive action with the witches and the Nazis people. Protect yourself. Respond if they come after you. But unless you have some serious thing that they've done, like, you know, beat you up and you've got bruises and cuts and a doctor's report and all kinds of damages that you can prove, sort of a lot sealed up, you know, no problem, make your case easily, forget it. Don't, because the court, no matter how righteous and just your case is, they're going to stack the deck against you like they've done against the Bundys in Nevada, like they did against Chris in Las Vegas, Tom LaCavara, host of this broadcast, etc., right on down the line to the Amish farmer. I mean, can you believe that we've gone so far? Traditionally, the government's left the Amish alone. Now in New York, they're coming after the Amish for the SAFE Act because it's now not legal to leave a family rifle to your offspring, to your children. You have to go through a NICS check. For an Amish person to leave their hunting rifle to their son or daughter, they have to go through a NICS check now on the son or daughter. These are Amish people who never hurt a person in their life. And how about the disgusting is the government of New York digging into that? It's going on everywhere, and I don't see any of this being reversed. I see a little piddly puss. Once again, it's like the what we're seeing as far as change in Washington and in the Republic is about like taking an Olympic-sized swimming pool, removing 2 drops of water, and claiming you made a difference here in year number 9 of the Obama administration. So I congratulate the president for propping up the IRS. We got 3 to 8 more years of the IRS and the Federal Reserve. Way to go, people. Are you happy? It's going to keep on rolling. Beautiful. I want to thank Gary. I want to thank Chris. I want to thank Mike on the board. I want to thank Tom McAvara. I want to thank Pruitt's Tree Resin. People, get yourself some of the pure tree resin. Its stuff is unbelievable. I really highly recommend it to people. Shop at PruittsTreeResin.com and enter the promo code FREEDOMSCREAM where it says coupon code. That way they know our ad is doing some good. People go there and shop there with the people who are patriotic and who help the Patriot movement. Thanks, everybody. Thanks, Mike Herzog, John Stattmiller, Tom LaCavara. We'll see him again soon.